How is everybody today? Okay, I hear some. Okay, you got to give two fist bumps away and a high five. So you got three. Should be easy calculation. If you're joining us online, you got to do the same thing. Go grab the dog, the cat, whatever you got to do. You got to get those fist bumps and high fives in. I'm hitting the team in the back. They got my back. So, guys, it has been awesome these past few weeks talking about and walking through this series called Exponential. And I just want to tell you, if you haven't marked your calendar, get ready for next week. And just a heads up, it's Mother's Day next week. So make sure you go to the Hallmark aisle and get that taken care of if you haven't already. But next week here at the Vine Church, we have a special guest speaker that is going to be coming. And she is going to bring a word that's going to be incredible. Her name is Starla Ellison. We can't wait to have her here. And she's so excited to be here. So if you don't have plans on Mother's Day, plan to be here at the Vine. And if you haven't got those chocolates or those roses, you better get on it online right now. At least grab a card. So if that's you and you haven't done it, come join us next week and make sure that you get ready for that as we wrap up our series called Exponential. And over these past few weeks, we've been talking about living an exponential life. And that's something, if we're honest, we don't feel like we're living right now, right? Like, how many of us can say today on this Sunday that we're living an exponential life? We feel like it. Exactly. Crickets. Crickets. It's been a crazy week. I'm seeing yawns sometimes. I'm seeing things where we can just feel like our life's not exponential. But here's the thing that I would pray and I know that Jesus has for each and every one of us today. He's called us to live an exponential life. He died to give us an exponential life. And today what I want us to do is just listen to the word he has for us. And I want us to be obedient to it, whatever that is, because we are called to be exponential. All right? So can we do that? We're going to open the Word of God, and we're going to talk about this thing called guarded praise. And I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about it because so many times in our life, if I'm completely honest, man, my praise is not where it needs to be, right? Now, before you get ready and you say, Tyler, you talk about praise a lot. I know, that's what Jesus is teaching me a lot about praise. But sometimes it's hard for me to praise. Like I'll give you an example. It's hard for me to praise at like 5:30 in the morning. Sometimes it's hard to praise at 5:30 in the morning, right? The only thing I'm praising is that I didn't fall out of the bed. Instead, I got up and I was ready to go, right? Like, it's hard to praise when you've got, like, free ice cream at lunch, after lunch, and not doing it. And praise that, hey, I'm on a path to lose weight. I can't go eat that ice cream for free. Like, it's hard to praise God in that, right? It's hard to praise God when the hot and now sign's on at Krispy Kreme, right? And, like, you're like, praise Jesus, the hot and now. And he's like, Tyler, your belt, you're on the last loop. You need to calm down with that. Like, it's hard to praise, right? Like, sometimes it's hard to praise. And I will tell you, like, today I want to talk to us about that because, see, so many times our praise is an indication of where our heart really is. If our praise is not in line with our heart, so many times this exponential life that we've been called to live, this exponential life that we're called to give those around us, this exponential life that is a light, a pinpoint of light in a dark, dark world, seems like we hid that light under a bushel. Because of everything else that's going on. So today, whatever chains you brought in here that are carrying you, whatever's weighing you down, I'm going to ask you in this moment to lay it down. And you just praise Jesus for who he is and what he's got going on, okay? So today, we're going to be in God's Word. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to talk about this thing, as I dance around here on stage, we're going to talk about this thing called guarded praise just a little bit. And we're going to talk about some people. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to be fun, but I believe that Jesus is going to help you see where your praise lies here as we go. So Acts 16, as you get that pulled up, we're going to start in verse 11. Acts 16 and verse 11. It'd probably help if I open my Bible with you too. Maybe if you don't have it, you can join us online here. Acts 16. Verse 11. If you are online, by the way, this is a good little segue, whether you're watching in the middle of the week or not. We actually have, if you join live.thevine.tv, I don't know if you scroll over, there's a little tab that says Bible. So if you don't have your Bible, you can follow along with us. We're in the NIV, so you can see if you have a different version, don't think that we're reading from a different Bible. We're actually just reading a different translation. We preach a lot here from the NIV, so no, if you've got that, you can click on that if you're joining us online, if you're at live.thevine.tv, and you can see a free online Bible. So here we go. Here we go. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed for Samothrace, you ready for these? I'm going to destroy these names. This next one you're going to enjoy because it sounds like ice cream, so get ready. And the next day we went to Neapolis, like Neapolitan, you know, that one that you get where you get the strawberry chocolate and the vanilla and you get mad and only one of them gets gone and usually one of them gets left and melts out. tough crowd. Anyway, from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of the district of Macedonia. Now, I can get these names right. And we stayed there several days. Going on to verse 13, it says this. It says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. I'm going to get it, I'm telling you. Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Verse 15 goes on to say this. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us in her home. If you consider me a believer of the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So today when we're talking about this thing called guarded praise, we're going to look at the three different stories from three different people. And then we're going to talk about living an exponential life. So I'm just going to go ahead and put all my cards on the table. You're used to seeing points right here. There's not going to be points right here. We're actually going to look through the eyes of these three different people. And let me tell you about this person named Lydia. She was a fashion icon. Like, she sold some purple cloth, y'all. Like, she had it. Like, where she was, the city she was in was kind of like L.A. and New York. Like, she had houses in two cities. Like, she was it. It's what everybody was wearing on, like, the red carpet or whatever that is. I don't think. Is that what it's called? Yeah, red carpet. She was a fashion icon. Like, she had it together. She is someone who you would say was a smart, driven businesswoman. Like, in Roman times, that would have been different. She was a smart businesswoman. Like, she was insightful, but let me tell you what she was. She was a religious person. She was a person who you would say was a good person. She gave to charity. Like, if you saw her on the top 10 most charitable people, she would be that person. Like, she was a good person. The community saw her as a good person. But all of a sudden, Paul goes into where she is at a time of prayer and clearly presents the gospel to her. And in the middle of her religion, in the middle of her good works, in the middle of everything, this woman who literally the world said they would aspire to be, like she's in the middle, I'll put it plainly, she's in the middle of a prayer meeting, like she's at like a Joyce Meyer or a Beth Moore Bible study, like they threw the DVD in and they're sitting there getting ready to pray. In her time, that's who she is. Except she's got fashion on the side too, so I guess, I don't know, who's a famous woman that does fashion? I should know these things. Maybe I shouldn't because I don't know women's clothes. That's probably better. But there's a famous, so whoever that is, she's got fashion on the side. That's her side hustle. Like, she can do that. But she's at this Bible study, and she's a good person. And all of a sudden, the gospel is clearly presented. And in the midst of her being a good person, a religious person, a person who had all the business, financial means, and was bold, and was a trend setter in her time, Jesus invaded her space. You see, in this exponential life, I wonder how many of us would say that's our story. People would say we were a good person. Like, we didn't get in trouble. We were religious. Like, we knew our Bible. We went to church more than Christmas and Easter, but one time in our life, the gospel was clearly presented, and we clearly responded. And we can say that's where Jesus invaded our space and completely changed our life. So maybe that's you. Maybe sometimes you might be watching online, or you're here live and you want to raise your hand, or you want to write that down. If you want to circle Lydia in your Bible, maybe that's your story of how Jesus came into your life and completely changed you. In that, in the midst of your religion, in the midst of your good works, in the midst of everybody saying you were the noble character, which we've seen torn down so much in our time now, right? All these folks of noble character are just getting their lives torn apart. Because their works aren't what saves them. It's only Jesus. And so if that's your story, I want to see if you identify with Lydia today. Maybe that's who you are, and that's where Christ saved you. Let's continue this story as the church continues to grow and be exponential in Acts 16. We're going to continue on, and we're going to be at verse 16. Excuse me. And so what happens is, Paul and Silas go, Lydia responds to the gospel, they go have you know, a homecoming meal, covered dish. It is what it is. They were probably Baptists, so they had all that, so we were good to go, right? Like, they had all that. Everybody brought their favorite thing. There was banana pudding and macaroni and cheese, so I would have been there. I don't know if you would have, but it is what it is. Probably a roll, a yeast roll of some type, maybe a biscuit. I'm just putting it out there. Cornbread, we'll see. So they were there, and all of a sudden when that happens, it says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Called me now, right? Like she had it, right? Like she had it. She had it. She had the sign out there. She predicted the future, and she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. So before we continue, like, unpack that for a moment. A slave girl owned money by predicting the future for her family. Or for predicting the future for her owners, excuse me, not for her family. That's probably how she kept her family alive. You know, we've been talking about the sex slave trade a lot here in the world because it's real. Don't tell me that it's something new. This poor slave girl was in it right there. I promise you, there was something more to that. Don't think that the issues we face in this world are something new. But this girl has this. She is being used by people. It goes on to say she's been so used and she's so angry and so mocking. She follows Paul. So imagine if I had this girl behind me. I bet if I could pull somebody out of Vine Kids, they probably would do it. They would much more than be happy to oblige. They followed behind Paul and the rest of them shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." It goes on to say in verse 18, she kept this up for many days. Okay, so I don't have kids, but I've heard it said this way. Mama, 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 dada, daddy, daddy, hi. Right? Like, it's that, right? Like, it's that. So she does it not just for a minute where you can try to get away and close the bathroom door without having to worry about little fingers coming over. No. Days. Like, days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owner realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. So this second person in this story is this poor girl who's been used by everyone, used by everything. She's probably been ripped from her home. She doesn't know where her family is. She makes money for her masters. For better terms, she's being pimped out to the world. And so some of us, when we say Jesus came in and invaded our space, we were mocking God. We were with the people we said we would never be with, doing the thing we said we would never do. And we were just stuck in a nasty mess in an unknown foreign world that felt so far away from where we thought we could be. And Jesus came and completely changed us. Completely changed us. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you can say, "Hey, in the midst of it all, I was at this place, at the place where I thought, God, if you love me, how can this happen to me? I was in the darkest, nastiest place that I thought I could ever be, with the people I never thought I should be with, that I knew there was something better. I knew there was something different, but I just couldn't get out. So all I could do is mock you, God, and say, if you really loved me, this would never happen." Maybe that's you. Maybe that's the space that Jesus invaded in your life and completely changed. You see, this exponential life that we're called to live so many times, maybe where we can be stuck is we forget where Jesus brought us from. The stories aren't over. We're going to continue in Acts 16, but I just want you to see what Jesus has done in your life, because when you do, this exponential life he's called us to live is so much more joyful. It's so much more grateful. It's such a huge opportunity we have. So maybe you've connected with Lydia. Maybe you've connected with this girl, but here's what I want to tell you as we go into next week and talk about Mother's Day. It's something that has been wrecking me all week, and I promise I won't spend forever on it. But so many times we hear about women in ministry, And I'm looking, and there are two women in ministry right here. And I want you to know where the gospel is faithfully and clearly professed, that women that are smart, that are bold, that are intelligent, that have it all in society will respond because they're attracted to it. But yet, the narrative in the world is the church is repressive. The narrative in the world is, how dare a woman have a microphone? The narrative in the world is, women can't be in ministry. The narrative in the world is that the church discriminates. And I want to end that today and say, hey, church, we're called to be something more. There's going to be a woman standing up here next week sharing her testimony, sharing how God has changed her life. And although men and women were clearly made different for distinctive roles inside the church and inside the home, yes, we are both called to live an exponential life. We are both called to be equal in His eyes. He died for both of us because the ground is level at the cross. And so many times we think that our story doesn't matter. So many times we think that because of our gender we're held back. And I want to release the chains of that today. Let that go. Stop saying, because I'm not a man, I can't preach. Stop saying, because she's not a woman, she can't be a woman, she can't be successful in business. Stop saying that, oh, well, God didn't want that for you. I'm going to ask you, the Bible clearly shows that women responded to the gospel. And if you look in the Word, how the gospel spread was through men and women working together to spread the church. But so many times we don't want that in the world. So many times, as you've heard the news this week, and this is why I'm addressing this, I've heard news this week of how the church has talked about people staying in abusive situations because they need to submit to their husband and not to the will of God. And I want to tell you, seek the will of God, get godly counsel. But if you're in an abusive situation, God didn't call you to stay in that. Get out. This slave girl was in an abusive situation, and it took someone noticing that in her and saying, Spirit, get out. Surrender to God's will so that she could be set free. And so today, I just want to tell you, maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're live and that's where you are. Maybe you're online and that's where. Hey, maybe nobody knows about it but you. Maybe nobody pays attention to the long sleeve shirts you wear in the middle of the summer to hide the bruises. Maybe nobody notices how you can't speak around the family. Maybe they don't. And I'm asking you, don't let that stop you from responding to the gospel today. There are people who love you that want to help you get out of that situation. And if you need help with that, let us know right now. We would love to help you. Comment, text us, call us. We would love to help you. Our phone number is 864-580-6698. Reach out to us. Let's continue this story from a serious note, side rant. Sorry about that, but it's just been something that's been pressing on me, guys, and this exponential life we're called to live. We can't not address it, because a church that doesn't address it with the gospel and a church that doesn't fully teach the Bible is not a church that's trying to make a difference in the world. And here at the Vine Church, we're called to make a difference in the world. We're called not to be shaped by the world, but to go out and change the world with the gospel. So we're going to continue this story, Acts 16. So Paul and Silas are in jail. Man, oh man, they're in jail. So we've talked about these two stories. I'm going to bring it back together because I got on a side rant there. We're going to talk about these two stories. So religious, got it together, good character, like in the class with Billy Graham, like this person. But Jesus came and invaded their life and know that the gospel had to be there. Then this next person in the muck and the mire, maybe they're addicted to something, or maybe they're struggling with something, and maybe they're just out there in the world and they're so far away from their family. They're almost like the prodigal son. They're so far away from where they thought they would be. And Jesus came and invaded their life and completely changed them. Maybe that's your story. Or maybe it's the story of this person. It's a jailer. It's really cool. About midnight. So Paul and Silas, I'm going to set this up well. Paul and Silas are in jail. They're in stocks. So anytime I think of stocks, I always think of a terrible British movie or Monty Python or like something like that. I think of just something terrible, like stocks. Like, I don't know if you've seen stocks, but they're made to put you in an uncomfortable position. Like, it's like it would be like me like doing this. Like, I'm not a cool rapper. I can't do this. Like, I'm not really cool like that. But it's an uncomfortable position. And they hold you there for days. So Paul and Silas are in stocks. The verses before this say they are in the middle of the prison. Like verse 26 is going to talk about the foundation shaking here in a moment, but they're in the middle of the prison. So let me tell you why that's significant. So imagine this, and this is your story. You're in stocks in an uncomfortable position. You're in the middle of the prison. So let me tell you what happened in Roman times. The middle of the prison is where all the raw sewage flowed from the entire prison. and from the surrounding town. So not only are you in an uncomfortable position, you're in an uncomfortable place, and yet they're still professing the gospel, and it's not stopping them from doing what verse 25 talks about in their praise. It's crazy. It's crazy. And they have this jailer who's put them there, and we're going to talk about his story and talk about how Jesus invaded his space and how maybe that's how he made you to live this exponential life. Maybe he came into your life in this space. So think about this. This is why it blows my mind. Like, if I'm in like an uncomfortable position and I'm sitting like this and I smell sewage, I love our Vine Kids volunteers, y'all. I'm just going to tell y'all right now, because they have to deal with that and changing dirty diapers. You guys are making a difference. But like, it's constant. It's uncomfortable. The smell is terrible. And Paul and Silas probably felt like they had every right to be like, man, this stinks. See what I did there? Tough crowd. This stinks. God, there's no way you called me to live this exponential life. Like, this isn't what you called me to live like. You called me to preach the gospel. You called me to spread the church everywhere. And here I am. These two women have responded to the gospel. This woman at the Bethmore Bible study responded to the gospel. This child who was in the slave trade responded to the gospel. Like, and I'm in jail? What in the world? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I really do want to know what they did, because I have a sense of humor, obviously. Like, what were the hymns they were singing? Like, I just want to know, like, Febreze it, like something. There's got to be something that was there back then. Like, I'm sure they were praying something. But here's the thing that you have to realize when you live an exponential life. In the middle of that stinky mess, the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, the world, no matter what your situation is searching for the hope of the gospel, they're looking for a small, small shimmer of light. Just a little bit of light. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now think of this. Not only are you uncomfortable in stock, the foundations are shaken. So it probably means the septic tank bust, if you know what I'm saying, too. Like, it's in a terrible space. At once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Like, you're thinking, I'm free, like it's Shawshank Redemption, like I'm going through, I'm going to get through. And the jailer wakes up. When he saw the prison door open, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the other prisoners escaped. You see, this is why, before we continue on, this is important. See, in Roman times, we think of Roman times as like this great, like, we see their cities, they have really, we still drive on the roads, they got aqueducts everywhere. The Colosseum is the place that, used to have malaria. I don't know if it still does or doesn't, but like all these things that it has, like, it's this great empire where everyone could be successful. And honestly, it was a repressive, pressing down, hard-fought regime where you had to fight for everything. The jailers in this time were usually highly decorated soldiers who were in retirement. So think of everything this man has seen. Think of it all. It's kind of like coming back from war. I'm sure he struggled with PTSD. I'm sure the things he's seen were unmentionable what he went through and he endured. And in the end, it wasn't like he could retire to the easy life. It's not Gladiator where it's all done and they scream, "Are you not entertained?" and it's all over and he kills the evil man. No. How he settled his life was running a prison. I wonder if we would say that was good enough for us if God called us to do that. It'd be crazy, right? So this jailer has seen all this stuff. And because these prisoners are escaping, he knows nothing comes easy in Rome, so I'm probably going to die. So even though I've endured all these battles, even though I'm highly decorated, because of this circumstance, I'm ready to kill myself. Look through his eyes. And Paul shouted to the top of his lungs, I'm sure, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and there were lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Think about this. He's seen all these things. This man has been in war. He's seen probably his friends taken from him, his family taken from him. Like, he's in retirement and all of these things. And the first thing that happens is he falls down and asks, "How might I be saved?" I love what they reply. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At the hour of night, the jailer took them and he washed their wounds. The one who put them in stocks, the one who put them in that stinky mess, took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. Verse 34 goes on to say, the jailer then brought them into his house. Man, they had some meals, didn't they? He set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. You know, maybe this is where Jesus invaded your life, in the midst of the anger and the bitterness, in the midst of just wanting to give up. He came in. He came in, and he made you new, and he gave you hope. He gave you hope. Maybe that's your story. Maybe that's where Jesus met you. And so today, before we talk about living an exponential life, I want you to look where Jesus came into your life. Because the one thing I know is that every time I look back to where Jesus came into my life, the kid who was the good kid, who still needed Jesus to die on the cross to save his life, who could have gave you all the Bible answers and every sword drill, could have won every one of them, can't remember his name half the time now, but can do those things, still needed Jesus to die for him. The one who was addicted to something, the one who has chased every pleasure the world could give, the one who has chased and said, hey, I'm going to see everything the world has to offer, much like the prodigal son, and I've lived and done it all, still needed the same Jesus to die for them. To this person who is the jailer, who is just angry and bitter, angry and bitter. And Jesus comes in his life in this situation where he was ready to kill himself. And the one thing that I see that is the connecting factor through every one of these stories is that Jesus, the hope, our hope, came in and invaded these people's lives. And they saw that he changed their life so much that Paul and Silas could not stop sharing him. No matter their circumstance, no matter what they walked through, whether it was the woman who was the fashion queen, dancing queen, I don't know why I'm thinking about that. That's terrible. I'll probably get something on that. But like the woman who was the fashion queen or the child who's caught in a miserable circumstance, who's in a situation that is just unimaginable, to the person who's ready to end it all. Every one of them shared the hope of Jesus with them. So here's the thing that we have to know to live an exponential life is, first of all, we've got to look back to see where Jesus invaded our space, where Jesus came to change our life. Because if we can't look back at that, we're going to have an opportunity for you to be able to say, today is your day to look back and see where Jesus invaded your space. Maybe I am that good person. Maybe I am the person that's in a desperate situation with people that I never thought I would be with, doing things I never thought I would do. Or maybe I'm just so angry and bitter at God because of the circumstance of my family being taken away, my life feeling like it's being taken away, and I just can't live like this anymore. You're going to have that opportunity today. But for a lot of us here, and maybe even online, we've been changed by Jesus. 5:30 shouldn't be an issue. Hot now shouldn't be an issue. Shouldn't be an issue. So how do we live this exponential life? And I'm gonna wrap it up quickly so that we are good. But the first thing that I see that Paul and Silas did to live this exponential life is they were provoked with passion. Provoked with passion. It didn't matter the situation they in. It didn't matter if they were going to an all-women's Bible study. Even as a man, they showed up. It didn't matter. They didn't think less of the Bible study. They didn't think that they had it all together compared to everyone else. They were provoked with passion, with godly sorrow. They knew that, hey, if I don't come in and share Jesus, they could die and go to hell. Like, they have no hope, and it burns me up so much that I have to share him. I don't care who is there, any audience that's in front of me, whether it's 1 or 5,000 or 20,000, whoever that is, I'm moved with passion, with godly sorrow, and I want to tell you that's what the Vine Church is for this city. That's what every one of us is for this city. If we don't share it, who will? If we don't share the gospel, who will? And if that can't move us to be provoked with passion, then the exponential life we're called to live, they don't want anything to do with. Because they look at us and say, why would I want to struggle like that? See, in the midst of Paul and Silas being in jail, even in the struggle, they praised God for what they had in their life. In the midst of Paul and Silas going in, knowing that when they told this slave girl she needed to be set free and it threw them in jail, they still shared the gospel. And the audience, who the world would have said was a lesser audience, was an audience that probably didn't matter. In the Roman world, they didn't. It's terrible. You see, the one thing that brought equality to both was Jesus. Was Jesus. And if we're focused on the gospel, we're not worried about what people say or do. We're only focused about sharing who Jesus is. And that's all that Paul and Silas did. They were provoked with passion. They knew that this passion was something that could be contagious, but they knew that, more importantly, the hope that only Jesus could give is something that they had to share. And here, maybe you struggle with this. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I do. I know that sounds hard sometimes. Sometimes I struggle with passion. Really, 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 I do. And let me tell you, if you know you do, if you aren't provoked with godly passion, the people in your life will be projects, not relationships built on trust. And you'll just roll through project after project after project after task list after task list after task list. And yes, you may show them Jesus, and that's going to be awesome, but you're going to miss out on the trust of seeing them taking the next step. That is so incredible, so important. And Paul and Silas got to live it. And how the church grew is they had relationships with trust. So if you're like me sometimes and you struggle with this, because maybe you've been hurt. We can all say we've been hurt. And it's hard to give our trust away. It's so hard. But I'm telling you, you can't really have passion if you can't be provoked. If you can't be provoked with passion, if you can't share with people what's honestly going on. If people are projects in your life, maybe this is what Jesus is trying to set you free from today to live an exponential life. Don't look at people as projects. Look at them as just an opportunity to be Jesus to them. And you know what? If they do that with you, holy cannoli, what will happen in your life? Oh my goodness. Two people, Paul and Silas, changed the city. I mean, there was city after city they went in. Because they shared the hope of the gospel. The second thing I see that they did is they engaged everyone with unity. They looked and said, hey, all of a sudden what we're trying to do is we're not coming in here saying we're holier than thou and we have all the answers. We're just going to point you to Jesus. We're trying to draw us together. We're trying to draw every one of us together. All I'm trying to do is I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile. I don't care if you're man or woman, slave or free. I'm here to share with you the gospel and the hope that is Jesus. That's it. I can tell you what he's done in my life. I can tell you I was the religious person and he saved me. I can tell you I was the person who was an addict and he saved me. I can tell you I was the person who was ready to literally kill myself and he saved me. And that's all I can tell you. I don't have every answer. I can't tell you all of the Levitical law. I can't tell you everything. Paul could at the time, but I can't tell you all of that. Instead, I just want you to be with me for all eternity. And here's how you do it. Jesus. One name. Jesus. You know, I wonder in my life, see, if I'm looking at people as projects and my passion is waning. My passion is waning. Those people can't see that I'm trying to be unified with them. Instead, the narrative is how we're different, how we're left and right, how I can do it better than you. And instead, it's got to be how we can do it better together. That's the exponential life we're called to live. And so maybe some of us today are struggling with this in our exponential life, engaging people right where they are. Paul and Silas didn't tell the little slave girl to clean it up when she was getting on their dang nerves, when she was running around. Paul and Silas didn't say, hey, I know you're doing this Beth Moore study, but you don't know Jesus, so how dare you? You can't share him. You don't know him. No. They met him right where they were. And this jailer was ready to end it all. The very person that put him in stocks and in that stinky situation. No. They engaged him right where they were. And if we look at one of those three stories, isn't that what Jesus did? He invaded our space right where we were. It wasn't anything we did. It wasn't like we said, all right, on March 12th, 2018, or May 12th, 2018. That's when I'm finally going to get right with Jesus. That's when it's going to happen. No. He invaded them. He came in. power washed their soul, made them brand new with a hope that only he can give. And so maybe that's where you struggle. And you know, if you struggle with any of those two things, I can't say it enough. We talked about it at the beginning. Come be a part of our Thursday night greenhouse. We have community. We ain't perfect. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we burn our food. It just is what it is. But I will tell you, we try to engage with unity. And when we do that, that's just opening the door for Jesus to move. The third thing they did, and this is one that's hard for us sometimes, is they deconstructed idols. They deconstruct idols in the lives of those around them. Here's what I mean by that, church. Man, isn't it great to live in America? How free it is. We get to come into a gym, have worship, and not worried about men dragging us out in the middle of the street because we lift Jesus' name up high. You see, the two things we struggle with in America is comfort and status. Comfort and status. It's fun to be comfortable. Man, there are so many times in my life I just want to put my feet up and just watch something on TV, right? There are so many times in my life where I just say, I'm the best there is, was, and ever will be. Like, I just, so many times in my life, my status, I say, I wonder what they think about me. I wonder what they think. I wonder if I'm as high on their pedestal as I should be. I wonder if I'm number one on their list. I brought it back to the 80s, if you know. Never mind, we won't open that one. I wonder if that's where I'm at. I wonder if in my life, the idols, what I deconstruct them in others' lives, because I understand that it's been deconstructed in mine. And for us, it's comfort and status. And what happens is so many times for us, we worry about looking the part because of that. We want to look like we got it under control. We want to look like we've got it all together. We want to look well put together. I mean, you know, it says, I wake up looking this good, right? Like, you know, we say a lot of times, like, that's it, as the camera shatters and breaks. But, like, really, 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 don't we say that? Like, don't we want to have it together? Like, every day's an interview. Like, I have to look like A and B. I have to have it together. And here's what I want to tell you. Looking the part will bankrupt your soul. The slave girl tried to look the part in telling the future. It was bankrupting her soul. Lydia was trying her good works and living her religion, and it was bankrupting her soul. The jailer tried to live out his retirement, hard labor, hard work, and it bankrupted his soul. But Paul and Silas came in and deconstructed those idols in their life and said, hey, time out. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. His name. It's only him that can set you free. Not being the jailer, not staying in the situation, giving it to Jesus. And if you want to live an exponential life, sometimes you got to deconstruct the idols in your life. You got to deconstruct the idols in the lives of those around you. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did. They deconstructed the idols in their life. And so many times for me, I'll be honest with you, when I'm pushing into that comfort and status, because it's really easy. Guys, we're in the top 1% of the world in wealth. Can you believe that? In the United States, we are. Like, we're wealthy, but we worry about what our neighbors drive. Like, we do. I do that sometimes. I'll be like, how'd they get that car? Man, that's messed up. I don't know. Logic, you need to sell something. I don't know what happened. How'd they get that? Like, we think about that so many times. But Jesus has been teaching me through this, even as he deconstructs the idols in my own life, to lean deeper into him when that happens. I'll say it this way as well. What Jesus has been reminding me more now of anything, and I don't know how this is going to land, so I'm just going to trust, is he created me to go to bed tired every night. He created me to put it all on the field every single day for his name. Sun up, sun down, he made me to be tired. Doesn't mean that I can't rest, because if you know me, allow Jesus, I don't rest well. That ain't me. But I will tell you this. When I'm burning with passion for him, he fills my soul with something that sleep could never do. And he made me to do this. But so many times in my life, that comfort and status matters. And I'm just a little slumber, just a little rest. Right? That's contagious. Now everybody's going to get it. Like, just a little slumber, now a little rest. But you see, when we deconstruct the idols, not with a condescending attitude, but to engage with unity and provoked with godly passion, all of a sudden Jesus comes in and invades the space of those around us. That's the exponential life we're called to live. Not keeping it to ourselves. You know, when we go out today, no matter whether you're watching this on Sunday live with us or you're going out into the streets on Monday, you are going to engage someone today. Going to engage someone today. And they're going to watch you. They're going to see there's something different about you. Will you respond to that? Will you respond and be Jesus like only He can allow you to be? The last thing that they did. As they always, after they deconstructed the idols, they reconstructed with the gospel. Never once did Paul and Silas point to themselves. Never once do I see Paul and Silas saying that they had all the answers, that it was all them that had it together, that, well, here's what we have is this wonderful 12-step program. If you come today, you can get it for the low, low price of $19.95, right? Like, we're slashing payments, free shipping and handling. Like, come to this seminar, come to this conference, come to this, come to that, and we'll share with you all the secrets of success. Like, it wasn't clickbait. It was life change. They shared the gospel. After they went through this, they were provoked with passion. They listened to the Spirit. The Spirit called them to go to Lydia at this Bible study. She's saved. They have some potluck. Praise Jesus and amen. Then they come over here, and this little girl, she's in a terrible situation, and Paul and Silas see it, so they share the gospel. They share Jesus with her. She gets saved. The authorities get PO'd. Say, you can't do this. How dare you set this girl free? Because now her owners can't make no money off of her. Because that's exactly the life we want to live, right? Somebody else making money off of us all the time, right? Like, how dare you do that? So we're going to throw you in jail. We're going to put you in stocks. We're going to put you in raw sewage. And all of a sudden, they're in an even crappier situation. They're in the crapper. You're welcome if you don't have that. They're in a crappy situation. And in the moments in my life where I care about my comfort and my status, I worry about my prison record. I would worry about the stinky parts of my life. I would worry about where I don't have it together, right? I would worry about that. But when I'm provoked with godly passion, it doesn't matter where I am, I'm going to share Him everywhere I go. From the lowest of lows to the highest of highs, His name will always come from my lips. That's what Paul and Silas did. And that's the exponential life. Nothing else to it. No other magical formula. It starts with a relationship with Jesus and then sharing Him with the world. We ain't perfect. We ain't going to get it together. It's not up to us to save. Only Jesus can save. Only the Spirit can move to do that. But today, maybe that's where we're stuck in our life, in our exponential. Maybe that's where we can see in our life that it's just hard to share the gospel. We talk ourselves out of it, don't we? Let's be honest, we do. The waitress you see today, the person you see today, calls you. You talk yourself out. Jesus, they don't want to hear that. They don't need to hear that. Thank God nobody did that for me. Thank God somebody knew the exponential life that they were called to live and wasn't afraid to share Jesus with me. They didn't care what I thought about it. They weren't worried about my response. They just obediently shared Jesus. And if you want to live an exponential life, that's all you have to do. Share Jesus with each and every person. And so I want to prepare you as we get ready to come into our last song here in just a little bit. I want to prepare you for this and let you know. When you share the gospel, three things are going to be the response of others around you. And I just want to prepare you for it, because here's the thing. Maybe sometimes knowledge is key, and if we know what's going to happen, doesn't that feel somewhat better if we know, like, hey, this could be the response. Like, this could be the response, right? Doesn't that feel better? That's my comfort coming in. Y'all got to deconstruct my idols in my life, right? Like, doesn't that feel better? So here's the thing. The first response you're going to get from each and every person, or not each and every person, but the first response you can get, you're going to get three responses. The first response you're going to get is you could get mocked. Does this sound familiar? Where is your God now? You could get mocked for your faith. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes that can be a tough thing knowing, because you just want to stand up and start throwing punches and just get crazy, right? But see, Jesus didn't do that with us. He just walked with us step by step through that, right? He walked with us step by step. So the first response is someone mocks you. The second response that can happen inside of your life is this, as you're sharing the gospel. The second response that could happen with you is people will say what Paul and Silas had next, if you were to ever read on into Acts chapter 16. Hey, I'm not fully bought in right now, but I'll listen to you further about this. Like, you know, I'll come back. I'm not 100%, but I'm not really 0%. Like there may be something to this thing, but I don't know. So I'll hear you out further. And I'll meet you in a few weeks. I'll come to Greenhouse Gathering in a few weeks. You say you got good food and it might be burnt, so I'll bring some antacids. So I'll come back and hang out with you a little bit later. Like I'll hear about this Jesus later. And the third response that's oh so sweet is I've given Jesus my full yes. And I'm a partner with you to share this gospel around the world and do what he's called us to do. So if you know that you're in those three categories and you know that that's your response, I wonder how your exponential life would look different. I wonder if you would freely share Jesus knowing that, hey, they may mock me, but I'm still going to walk with them step by step. Hey, that's what happened to Jesus as he went to the cross. Hey, they may say, we'll listen to this to you further. Maybe when you resurrect from the dead, Jesus, maybe when you fulfill everything you said you'll do, we'll listen to you further. But we're not fully bought in yet. Hey, he went through the same thing. And then when they respond to the gospel and they fully surrender their life to him, man, the joy that is in heaven, the joy that we get to have with them as they take that step. And if there's anyone that you can lean into that knows how it feels, it's Jesus. And I will tell you, every time I lean into him, I can't help but share him even more. So today, I want to ask you, where are you in your exponential life? Do you remember where Jesus saved you? Do you remember where you were? Maybe you think your good works can do it. It's not going to get you there. Maybe you're mocking God, saying, where's God at in my situation? Because I don't think he is. And he saved you from that. Or maybe, man, life just wasn't worth living anymore the way you were living it. So something had to change. And he saved you. And so as we get ready to worship in this last song, I want you to have some exponential worship. And I want you to ask God how he would have you respond. Are you struggling with passion? Are you struggling with engaging people with unity? Are you struggling with idols in your life? Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you still don't have idols that you build up in your life. Are you struggling with sharing the gospel? In this moment, let Jesus invade your situation. And I promise you, you'll leave better than how you came in. So as everybody stands for our last song of worship, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to have exponential worship here in this last song. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to lift your name high. Jesus, I'm begging that we see you in a new way today and that we would be bold enough to respond because you have called us to live an exponential life. We lay our chains down to you. We lift our hands high in this moment and we say, Jesus, only your name can save, and we put it all to you. So dear Lord, let us show you with our praise. Let it not be guarded, but unleashed. Let it be exponential compared to how we walked in. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.
My feet. chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing.
Something that Tyler said and that he read from scripture. It was in Acts 16, and we're going to get the guys in the back to put it up on the screen or to put it down here for you. But in Acts 16, verse 30, just after Paul and Silas were in prison and celebrating, the jailer came running in, and then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And that's what I want to talk to you about right now. And that's what Tyler and the message, and that's what the Spirit's been leading up to, is this moment and this time right now. I believe fully and wholeheartedly that there's somebody who has listened to this message, whether you are at home right now, whether you're in a coffee shop later during the week and you're listening and watching this message, or you're listening to it from a podcast. I believe that God is speaking to you. And maybe this is the question that you asked: what must I do to be saved? And verse 31 says that they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." You see, it wasn't about what they could do and how hard he had to work and how good he had to be. No, it's simple. To be saved, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in who he is. Believe in what he has done. And you will be saved. And so right now we want to give you that opportunity to believe in Jesus, to profess Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And so if you would,
everybody bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And as we love to do here, we're going to pray together out loud so that those who are coming to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior for the first time do not feel alone, but they know that we are together and we are with them. And so if you would, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need you. I've tried living this life on my own, and I can't do it without you. I ask and I receive your mercy and your forgiveness. I turn from my way to you. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you live the perfect life. And you died the death that I deserved. And then you rose from the grave in victory over sin and death. Help me to follow you the rest of my days, the best that I know how, for your glory, my good. In Jesus' name, amen. With everybody's head bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know the words of that prayer did not save you. But it's your faith and your profession in who Jesus is that brings you to a point of salvation. And if you prayed that prayer boldly and wholeheartedly, and that was the very first time that you know that you have given your life to Christ. Like Tyler said earlier, if that's the first time that you can look back and you know this is where Jesus invaded your space and invaded your life, then I want you to raise your hand when I count to three. One, two, three. And it doesn't matter if you're here right now or if you're listening in a coffee shop, I want you to know that it's all the same. Jesus is with you where you are. Good. Everybody can look up. As we get ready to leave today and to go out into this city of Spartanburg where God has called us to reach, I want you to take this with you. If you know Christ is your Lord and Savior and you believe he is who he says he is, that he lived the perfect life and he died the death that we deserve, and then he rose from the grave in victory, that those who have faith in him have everlasting life, I want you to take that with you. Because one other thing I want to point out is it goes on to say in verse 34, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before him. Or before them, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. Take that joy with you today everywhere you go and let other people see it in you so that they'll come to ask you, hey, how do I get that joy? What do I need to do to be saved? Where is my salvation? Where do I find it? And you can tell them the same place I did, in Jesus Christ. And so if you're new here today and you haven't had the opportunity to meet us, we'd love for you to come hang out with us in the garden. If you accepted Christ for the first time, we'd love for you to come hang out with us in the garden. If you're watching online, send us an email. We'd love to talk to you and hear from you. You can email us at hello@thevine.tv and we will get back in touch with you. Or you can send us a comment or a Facebook message, whatever it is you need to do to get in touch with you. We would love to hear from you and to talk to you. Dear Lord, as we leave today, may you guide us, lead us, and direct us in everything that we do. May your words be what are heard from our mouths. And may you shine so brightly in us and through us that no one can deny who you are and that we know you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and for loving us the way that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.